Good morning. Glad to see you on another beautiful, beautiful morning. I'm glad you were able to make it. We thank the Lord that He had kept the temperatures a little high, so that all we're getting is rain, as opposed to something more dangerous. I'm glad we're all here that we can worship our Lord. Before we get started with the worship service, just wanted to go through the bulletin quickly because a lot of announcements. I'm not going to read them word for word, but just so you know, just so that we remember. First of all, this in today's service, we will be receiving some new members into the family. Wednesday is our meal, the table. If you can help out, if you haven't signed up, please do that. Let us know that you're able to help us out. We'll be doing that on Wednesday evening. Thursday evening, theoretically, is a ministry council meeting. We'll see if the projected snow is as bad as they're telling us it might be. But Thursday night, we have scheduled a council meeting. And I wanted to make sure that you knew that next week we'll be sharing in communion. Some people like to know a little bit ahead of time that we'll be celebrating communion next week. And it's my intention to try and make it altar communion this time. I know for some that's very meaningful. I know for me it's very meaningful to be able to come up and kneel at the altar, stand at the altar. We will make provisions for those who can't come up. We'll serve them first. But anyhow, next week we'll be having communion and most likely altar communion. And I want to go ahead and cancel tonight's Bible study. I'm hearing about rain and projected wind up to like 50 miles an hour. Nobody's going to want to come out tonight. So we're going to cancel tonight's Bible study. But this week we will be having the coffee shop theology on Wednesday, all the things going on Wednesday as normal. Also, something new here, if you didn't get a bulletin, I'd encourage you to grab one on your way out or find somebody that maybe has read it and doesn't, you know, wants to share it with you. But there's an insert, and it's talking about the things that we want to collect for supporting our troops. And the idea is that we're getting these things together, and then on March 8th, we're going to have an activity night where there's things that are going to be happening there, an intergenerational night where we just have a lot of fun doing some things together. So anyhow, take a look at that. It's in the bulletin. We need these things donated by Sunday, March 2nd. So if you have any questions, you can ask me more about it, Brenda, Donna, Rogers, and we'll see if we can help you out with it. So all these things that are going on, it's great. Hope that you can find opportunities to jump into to these classes or to these opportunities for donations and so forth. So anything I'm forgetting, any activities going on, any dates that we need to remember? Okay, well then let's praise the Lord. Let's get ready for worship. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we can find beauty in it, even if it feels like an ugly, cold, wet day to us. It is still a day that you have made, and we will rejoice in it. We gather here this morning to praise you. I pray that as we have come in, if we have come in with hearts that are not open to you, I pray that you will soften them. Help us to to just put all the distractions of the world out of our mind. Let us focus on you for this next hour, hour and a half, so that nothing gets in the way of our praise to you, of the blessing of hearing from you, and just the opportunity to strengthen our hearts with your presence. And so, Father, I just pray that all that we do here this morning will be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For our call to worship, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you're able, as we get ready to sing some praise songs. Today, you see that we're going to start with a song that reminds us that Jesus saves, and then the hymn that we have to finish the service, it has this, "We have heard the joyful sound," but the chorus is, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." So it's always a great way to start remembering that Jesus saves and end remembering that Jesus saves. And so our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 68, where we read, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." Let's sing our praises this morning.
Yeah, we had to make a quick pivot. We're not doing Jesus Saves. Sorry, Jeff. But it's on the bulletin. We have another song. Hopefully you guys enjoy it.
He's still saved.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't stop now. So I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, you is without borders. There Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never. Song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy.
To have a seat now. We're letting the Holy Spirit run this. We've got so many different changes. It's just the way He wants it this morning. So I'm going to move up the reception of the new members. We have some people who are joining our family this morning. Let me just pause because I know I'm the Holy Spirit is changing this up. So I'm going to give the band a chance to get down and get to their seats. Thank you so much, Praise Band, for what you do and for letting the Holy Spirit lead you when needing to make some changes there. Appreciate it. So this morning, I'm going to ask Mary Engel and Hector Sanchez to come up. They are going to answer some questions, take some vows. Let me give you that so that you can see what I'm going to be asking you. You get to follow along there, take the nerves off, because some of these answers get kind of long. But Mary and Hector, by presenting yourselves today, you're giving a public testimony that you are professing personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. We're very happy about the fact that you have repented of your sins and trusted in Him for forgiveness of sin, newness of life, and hope for eternity. The moment that you had personally received Christ, you became members of the large body of Christ, the Church Universal, the little C Catholic Church. Now you're presenting yourselves before the Lord of the Church and before us as members of this congregation in order to take your vows as fellow members of the body of believers. It strengthens us to hear your public declaration of this purpose, and we believe you also will be strengthened as you affirmatively answer the questions that I'm about to ask. The first question: we are a congregation affiliated with the Evangelical Congregational Church. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Do you believe this? And do you believe that only in these divine writings will we find the Christian message of salvation? If so, please answer, yes, I do believe this. Yes. You have heard the scriptural teachings regarding your need of the saving acts of Jesus Christ, His perfect life, His sacrificial death, and His defeat of death by His resurrection. By presenting yourselves today in this place, you are professing personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Is this your profession? And if so, please answer, yes, I have put my trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Yes, I have put my trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. When the Lord gave the church her commission, He said that we should make disciples of all nations. A disciple is one who is seeking to pattern his life on his Savior's. Are you sincerely seeking to be a disciple and live as Jesus would have you live? If so, answer, I am determined, by the grace of God, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
I am determined, by the grace of God, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
The Christian is called upon to give expression of his gratitude for the blessings of God by returning his entire life to the Lord for his use. Will you therefore seek to faithfully accept the responsibility to use the gifts God has given you? If so, answer, yes, I will. The Bible itself, as interpreted by the Holy Spirit, is our standard of Christian life and practice, and the denomination's discipline seeks to be a faithful interpretation of scriptural standards of the Christian life. Are you willing to seek to live by the teachings of the Bible as the Spirit guides you, and will you seek to contribute to the harmony of the local church by following the rules of the discipline? If so, answer, I will, the Lord being my helper. Will you seek to be faithful by attendance and participate in public worship, fellowship, study, and service opportunities of this congregation? If so, answer, yes, I will, as God enables me. Our last question is, have you been baptized? If so, answer, yes. And then the last question that we have is for the members of the congregation. Do you welcome these believers into our fellowship and care? If so, answer with a hearty, we do.
We do.
Amen. So now what I'd like to do as our first act as a new growing family, I'd like us all to recite the Apostles' Creed as found up on the screen. I think. Okay. Yeah. We're just changing things up. All right, so let's all recite the creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We have a certificate for each one of you. We're very happy to have you as part of our congregation.
Thank you.
And the reason I did it this way, Hector, as well, the reason I did it this way is I wanted to give you the opportunity now. Now we'll do our greeting with each other, but especially I ask you to greet the newest members of our congregation. So go ahead and get up, greet your neighbors, and greet our newest members. You don't have to. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, no. That's okay.
Anyway, I couldn't do the riff and sing it at the same time.
Okay.
It's not cool.
All right, so Let's share our praises. What kind of praises do you have from this past week? What can you share with us this morning?
So I've been working with the company for about 3 months now, doing insulation for them. And another gentleman went to a different company, and he offered me a different job. So March 3rd, I'll be starting with this other company. And looks to be like an answer to prayer. So
okay.
Very happy.
Yeah, praise the Lord then. Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to thank everyone for the prayers for my great-granddaughter, and we still need prayers. She's in quite a lot of pain right now, but she is home. She came home probably a couple hours after the operation.
Wow.
But everything was fine. They fixed everything that needed fixed.
Okay.
So thank you again.
Yeah.
So just a praise that my dad's birthday this week, and we're getting together with the family today just to have some family time.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a nephew in Hawaii, Stephen Damo, and he was actually put into the hospital. He has some kidney problems, a lot of fluid buildup. They think it might be potassium, but they've been running tests. And did he go home? Yeah, he was discharged, but they're still trying to figure that out. So you keep him in prayer.
And I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Stephen Damo. Okay. Yeah.
Any other praises? Any other prayer requests?
Continued prayers, please, for Pastor Tim Chrisman undergoing a long series of chemo treatments for comfort and healing and perspective on life. Thank you.
Any others? Yes.
Okay, I have a couple. One, Twin Pines is going through reorganization right now, so just prayers that everybody will be put in place where they need to be to continue this ministry of the church. And second, one of my coworkers, his wife had a baby this week, and she was only 30 weeks along. So prayers for everybody's doing okay right now, baby's in the NICU, but just prayers that everybody does okay, and there's a positive outcome for that. And then just somebody I've never met in person, but through the course of COVID, started following on Facebook. There was a family from down south that had some conjoined twins that were separated throughout COVID, and they're doing fantastically. But one of their other children was just diagnosed with leukemia this past, a month ago. So, like, prayers for that family. That they've just been through a lot and are still looking to God through all of it. But just prayers for that whole situation.
Any others? Okay. Well, then let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we want to thank you for the gift of this new day. We thank you for all of the blessings that you give us that allow us to enjoy the day, to use the day productively to serve you. Give us the motivation, the heart, to be ready to serve you when opportunities arise. Help us to recognize them as well, that we don't just pass by them. Well, Father, we thank you for new jobs. We thank you for all sorts of things that help us to remember that you are watching over us, you provide for us. We thank you for successful surgeries and healings. We also want to lift up these requests, Lord, and ask you to consider these people and consider their situations. We pray for Stephen as he's recovering. We pray that he's healing from this fluid buildup. You know exactly what the problem is, and so we pray, Lord, that you would heal him. We pray for Tim Christman, again, going through chemo treatments, and we pray for, as was requested, comfort, healing, and that he would continue to have a godly perspective on his life. Let him never, let him be encouraged in a situation where it's easy to be discouraged. Let him cling to you tightly and make your presence known to him, Lord. Father, we pray for Twin Pines, as we know that there, the leadership is changing there, and we pray, Lord, that those people who are in charge of finding a new leader will find the person that you have already selected. Make that person known to them, and we pray that you would bless that person, bless Twin Pines, help them to flourish and to continue to be a ministry to young campers. We pray for this baby that was born a little early, and we pray as it's going through the NICU that we would ask you would strengthen the family, give them comfort, but also give strength and health to this baby, that it would be able to grow and to live a life that's full, and that you would use it, that you already have a plan for that child, that that child would recognize that plan and follow you. And we pray for this child, this sibling of these twins that now has leukemia. Father, again, we pray for your healing hand to be on that child. We pray for your comforting arms to be wrapped around that family. We pray for all those who are dealing with flus right now, who are dealing with sickness. We pray for all those who might be dealing with emotional issues and that are troubled by so many things. Take away anxiety, Lord. Help us to remember that you are in control and that you're with us each day, and that we only need to concern ourselves with this day, that you have things taken care of for our future. Father, you're faithful in providing for us, and we are so grateful for that. We thank you for the way you provide us with an income. And so, Father, we've given back a portion. We give it from our hearts as a token of worship. And we pray, Lord, that you will accept it and bless it and use it to further your kingdom and to further your church. And we pray all these things and all those things that have been quietly lifted to you from our hearts. All in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to join me in singing our first hymn now, hymn number 63. all those children who are age 5 through 5th grade, you are dismissed for children's church. All right, well, we've been hearing a lot lately about knowledge and wisdom, if you're involved in any of the classes. It's been the focus of the first few chapters of Proverbs, which we've been taking a look at in our Sunday evening Bible studies. Paul's also been talking about it in his first letter to the Corinthians that we've been taking a look at here on Sunday mornings. And so I wanted to share an interesting definition that I just heard, which helps to explain the difference between knowledge and wisdom. This person explained that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, which it is, has the flower first. Tomato is a fruit. So knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. And that's the kind of lesson that Paul's been trying to get across to the members of the church in Corinth. Knowledge is one thing, and it's a good start. But there needs to be understanding and application to make it wisdom. His message of the cross is a message of wisdom among the mature, he says. It's because they get it. The Holy Spirit has given them understanding, and now they have wisdom, godly wisdom. And so in today's scripture, Paul will continue making his point about godly wisdom being the key to growth in our Christian faith. He told us before that there are two types of people. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. And he noted that the difference was that the Christians were the people with the Spirit and non-Christians are the people without the Spirit. Well, today he's going to break things down even further and show us that there are also two types of Christians. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit and those who are not. Both are Christians, so both are people with the Holy Spirit, but not all of them are guided by the Holy Spirit. Those who are not being guided by the Holy Spirit are compared to a person who hasn't developed physically, a person with stunted growth. I think we can all agree that babies are cute, right? Yeah, especially if you can give them back. We love to hear them say things as they're babbling and doo doo give my mom your dad dad. He said dada. You can just catch it in there, you know, if we hear a couple of syllables that go together. He said mama, she said dada. And of course when they get to the point where they say something, they look at you and they say something like, "I sorry." Oh, it just melts your heart, and then exactly, there's all kinds of awes. But one of my friends who lives at Cumberland Vista, he's over 50 years old, and he still can only say, "I sorry." He hasn't developed beyond "I sorry." Like all the residents, he's been diagnosed at an early age as a child with IDD, intellectual developmental disability. His body has grown, but his mind hasn't. As we continue reading Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we'll see that he's disappointed because the church has grown, the body has grown, but their faith hasn't. They have a spiritual developmental disability. So let's open God's word to 1 Corinthians. We're ready to start chapter 3. So we'll begin with verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, where we read, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." So he says, "I could not address you." He's talking about back in the past. He's talking about back when he planted this church. When these people became part of the church, they were just getting started. They were just getting started as Christians. They had the Spirit, but they weren't living by the Spirit yet. They were still worldly. The Greek word literally means having the characteristics of the flesh. Some of our translations will say they were fleshly in this verse. So they were still worldly. They were still fleshly, but that was natural. They weren't living by the Spirit yet, so the Spirit would not be able to give them the understanding that they would need. So Paul had to just stick to the basics. In verse 2, he says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it yet. And I don't think he's insulting them here. Many writers and teachers of Paul's day would use this infant analogy when describing somebody who hasn't developed a skill in any kind of knowledge yet, in a particular type of knowledge. They would refer to that type of person as being an infant in that knowledge, somebody who had to start with the basics, an infant who was just on milk. Those teachers always expected their students to start with the basics, but they also expected their students to grow and to show progress beyond the basics. And unfortunately, that's not happening in this church. The verse finishes by saying, indeed, you are still not ready. Paul had been with them for a year and a half in that church, and he would have expected some amount of growth even during that period of time. And now here it is, a full 3 years later, and they still aren't showing any growth. So verse 3, he says, you are still worldly or fleshly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? So their jealousy and their quarreling, he's saying, are evidence of stunted spiritual growth. Jealousy and quarreling, not violations of doctrine, not some extreme cases of heresy. Jealousy and quarreling. Unfortunately, things that we still see in the church. So Paul says that they're still worldly or fleshly. That same Greek root here, this word is very much the same as the one back in verse 1, but there's just a subtle difference. Now it literally means full of fleshly activities. And I think he worded it that way because he could deal with the fact that they were fleshly when they were infants in Christ, when they started off, it was understandable. But it's been 3 years now. There's no excuse for still acting fleshly. There's no excuse for jealousy within the church. There's no excuse for quarreling among church members. They're acting like adults who still eat baby food. They're acting like, as he says, mere humans, unregenerate people, not like people who have the Spirit living inside of them. And then verse 4 reminds us of what started this whole conversation, right? At the very beginning, remember how people were saying they followed different people. There was division in the church. Division being caused by church members vowing allegiance to human leaders. At its core, they were basically creating these celebrity cults. So in verse 4 he says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? You see, in Greek culture, sometimes they would elevate heroes up to a godly status. And I think if you remember, I might have mentioned before how there were certain philosophers who believed that the sacred part of you was your soul, and where the materialistic fleshly part of you, the body, was bad, and so forth. And so these philosophers, they considered the soul to be a divine part of each person. And they taught that because of this, a person could become divine, could become a god, based upon their virtue. But Paul's saying, hey, if you follow humans, you follow Paul, you follow Apollos, if you're going to follow a human, then you are not divine. And you definitely aren't following the Spirit of God. You're mere fleshly human beings. And so in verse 5, he says, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Now we do get kind of a hint there as he says, through only servants through whom you came to believe. So it's very possible that some of these people came to believe when Paul was there, when he started the church. They came to believe, and so they started to attach with him. And then after he left, Apollos was there, and maybe he led a few to the Lord. And so those people got very attached to him. But Paul's reminding them that we are just servants, only servants, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. So we see another problem with the division that's created within the Corinthian church. We've already seen that their behavior is far from exemplary of somebody who is focused on Christ crucified. But now we see that their behavior also ignores the fact that all Christian leaders are merely servants. I have a book in my library that's written by Pastor John Piper. Now, his theology is a little different from mine, but he wrote this book as a plea to pastors. It's not a book about theology. It's a book about pastoring. It's a book that reminds pastors that we are servants. It's called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. And you can almost hear Paul saying this, as I just the first couple sentences here of his book. He says, we pastors are being killed by the professionalizing of the pastoral ministry. The mentality of the professional is not the mentality of the prophet. It is not the mentality of the slave of Christ. Professionalism has nothing to do with the essence and heart of the Christian ministry. The more professional we long to be, the more spiritual death we will leave in our wake. And here's the part that really sounds like Paul. He says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but professionals are wise. We are weak, but professionals are strong. Professionals are held in honor. We are in disrepute. We do not try to secure a professional lifestyle, but we are ready to hunger and thirst and be ill-clad and homeless. Now, Paul's reminding the church of the very same thing. Christian leaders are not gods. They're not meant to be celebrities, and they shouldn't be the focus of any kind of cult followings. All Christian leaders, pastors, council members, Sunday school teachers, we're all servants. And every one of us has an equally important role, but also we all have an equally insignificant role when compared to the role that God plays in growing the church. And he explains then, Paul explains what he means by that. Starting in verse 6, he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Verse 7, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. The one who plants was Paul, the one who waters, meaning Apollos, neither one is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers or co-laborers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Now we'll take a look at that building analogy next week. But today we have this picture of a seed being planted, being watered, sprouting, growing. And Paul's specifically talking about Christian leaders here in this scenario, but it can easily be adapted to include all Christians as well. Because he's basically talking about evangelism here, a word that makes so many of us uncomfortable, and I believe it's because of the way it's been defined in the past. It doesn't have to be about standing on a corner yelling out things for people to hear you. It doesn't have to be about walking door to door and asking people if they know where they're going tonight if they die. There are all sorts of other ways to do evangelism. And Paul's message here should be a relief for many of us because he takes the pressure off. And I'll explain what I mean. We know that evangelism is basically planting seeds of the gospel. But sometimes, because of the world that we live in today, we might not be able to plant seeds of the gospel until we first till the soil of people's minds and hearts. Now, God's the only one that can till the heart, but if we can do a little bit of stuff up front, what I call pre-evangelism, that we can till the soil, that maybe it will accept the seed a little better. And pre-evangelism is just getting to know people, forming relationships with unbelievers, letting them know that you care. I've said it before, and I'm sure you've heard it from other people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Spend time with them, sincerely creating a relationship, seeing them as a friend, seeing them as a fellow creation of God, not as an evangelism project. And when you get to know them and you form a relationship, you're digging up the ground, you're tilling the soil, and hopefully while you're doing that, God is also softening their heart. Now, most of us have been taught that evangelism is proclaiming the good news and inviting others to trust Christ, speaking to people about Christ, winning souls for Christ, right? But a valuable element is missing in this definition because it's always made to be so instantaneous. The missing element is simply that evangelism is a process. If we look at verse 6 again, he says, I planted the seed, so obviously that takes some time. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. It didn't say God just made it grow. Poof, there it is. God has been making it grow. So between the three of them, it's been taking a while. It's a process. So you and I might not be able to just share the gospel in one conversation and invite our unbelieving friend to trust Christ, just like that. But we might be able to help them get one step closer with every encounter. Now, if we equate evangelism with reaping, that idea of winning souls for Christ, we're going to get discouraged every time we speak to somebody who's just not interested yet. We're going to feel like a failure because we feel like we're not doing evangelism right. I don't think that I have anybody who has ever accepted Christ in my presence. I could feel very bad about that. That could tell me that I'm a worthless pastor if I wanted to let it do that. But even as another sentence that's in John Piper's book here, he says, a pastor who feels competent in himself to produce eternal fruit knows neither God nor himself. It's a reminder that I have nothing to do with that conversion. But many of us resist the opportunity of evangelism because we don't want to fail. Christian writer Tim Downs says this. He says, we have come to believe that there are only two kinds of Christians, the harvesters and the disobedient. We must begin to teach with great urgency that every laborer should learn how to reap and that God will call some to exercise that role exclusively. But everyone should learn to sow right now, right where they are. That's the kind of thing that bothers me when I get these papers, these things that we have to fill out to send back to the denomination. And one of those things on there is how many decisions for Christ? I don't know. I mean, I wish I could put a question mark, but they want a number. And that's the kind of thing that bothers me because I don't know how many people might have made a decision for Christ, not just by me talking to them, but any of you talking to them. And that's just not what our focus should be. It's just about doing the planting and doing the watering. In this culture that we live in, right now it's defined as postmodern, or even some have gone, it's post-Christian. A postmodern world, and that just means that we're in a world now where people will tell you with absolute certainty that there are no absolute certainties. There's no absolute truth, and when they tell you that, they're making an absolute statement. But everything wants to be challenged. They want you to challenge everything and say that no, there is no absolute truth. And in a situation like that, we're going to have to plant a lot of spiritual seeds. And we're going to have to do it for a long time before even one person might seriously consider the person and the message of Christ. We might have to till the soil for a long time before we even have the opportunity to plant one single seed. But don't get discouraged. We aren't called to bring every person to Christ, but simply to bring Christ to every person. So you know what? I think a better definition of evangelism would be this. Every day and in every way, helping our non-believing friends to just take one step closer to Jesus Christ. Because in the end, we need to recognize that the path to faith is mysterious. Jesus told a parable about it in the Gospel of Mark. He said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And the only part that the human had in that whole story is that the man scattered the seed on the ground. We need to develop a relationship with unbelievers. We need to share in Christian witness, and we need to continue to sow seeds of faith. But conversion, the reaping, is between God and the unbeliever. And that's liberating for us. That takes the pressure off of us. We can witness without any concerns about tallying results. There's no way of knowing how long it might take for seeds to sprout. We might not even see it in our lifetime. But that shouldn't stop us from sowing and from watering. Because we can simply find satisfaction in knowing that we have done our part and the rest is up to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the truth that we find in it. We thank you for the truth that liberates us, knowing that only you can save, but also the truth that motivates us, or should motivate us, that even though we may not see the end result, that shouldn't discourage us. Help us, Lord, to stay motivated to continue to just do our part, not to get outside of our boundaries, but just to do our planting, and do our sowing, do our watering. Help us, Lord, to see those opportunities, to take those opportunities, to develop these relationships. Instead of being so divisive, so much contention, so much arguing over who you are and how you want us to live, help us to form bonds, to form relationships. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We know we need you, and so we ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to stand if you're able, and let's sing our final hymn where we proclaim that Jesus saves.
Thank you.
And so may you go from here, fill up that seed bag, and leave here ready to sow these seeds. Do it with confidence. Do it with his encouragement. And as you do this, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May his face shine upon you, and he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.